The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
DJ Khaled!
Call yet, and now a touchdown. We give it to Williams. Williams up to the end zone for the touchdown. Block throwing. That's Derwin James. Herbert throwing, and that's complete to the end zone as Eckler for the touchdown. Herbert on the move, throwing toward the end zone, intercepted. Picked off in the end zone by Pat Surtain. Bridgewater shakes a tackle, throwing end zone, touchdown. Eric Sauber with the catch. Herbert. Surtain up the sideline. Can he get there? Surtain to the end zone for the touchdown. Bridgewater going to take a knee. That will put the clamps on a big, big win here at home for the Denver Broncos.
Broncos beat up on the Chargers. Wasn't even as close as the final score indicated. And now a Sunday night matchup with the Chiefs looms ahead. But let's reflect on the jubilation of beating the Chargers. Tyler's turning points as we look at this game.
Yeah, what a game it was, D-Mac. This was absolutely incredible. You know, I put it out on Twitter just asking, who's taking the Broncos plus two in this game? And the response that I got was insane. It was like, you crazy? What kind of idiot would take this? Only fools that don't love money would take plus two with the Denver Broncos. So this game was a surprise for a lot of people, quite frankly, including myself. The game started off a little bit slow. You know, the first drive, Teddy did pick up a nice third down to Jerry Jeudy. A nice little rub route where they hit him well. And he popped, and I thought that it was fascinating that he was the first wide receiver to really get targeted, not Tim Patrick and not Cortland Sutton coming off their fresh contracts. But the series did stall out there. The Chargers get the ball, and they go three and out. And it's like, okay, all right, well, no harm, no foul. Neither team really did anything. And then it starts to pick up for the Broncos. And what it really started with was when Teddy hit Tim Patrick on that deep cross. And, man, you know, I know that that looks like a routine catch in the NFL, and it more or less is a routine catch in the NFL, but there was something really comforting about the fact of just watching Tim Patrick go up there, snag that ball, bring it down in traffic, do his deal right after a fresh contract. It was nice to see him do it. It turns out to be a long, sustained drive. When they picked up another third down to Cortland Sutton, so now you've got Tim Patrick, you've got Jerry Jeudy, and you've got Cortland Sutton all involved in the game. But what the real play of that series was Teddy making the scramble. Number one, he gives the stiff arm to Joey Bosa. A lot of people glance over that one. But Joey had him within reach, should have tackled him. He did not. Gave him the stiff arm, and then Teddy scrambles. He dives through the pylon, and you got yourself 6 points to start the game. Well, what that really was that was an energy setter. And you said it before the game began on the pregame show that if Teddy gets an opportunity to tackle somebody, he's hitting them.
Right.
Well, that was his version of it, right?
That's right.
That was his version of I'm putting it all out on the line. It wasn't some sort of heroic football play. He didn't get nailed. Yep. The Chargers, again, go three and out. So at this point, I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, we might have an opportunity because, number one, we ate up a lot of clock on the second drive of the game. Number two, the Chargers have gone three and out. And number three, I'm liking what I'm seeing out of Vic Fangio and his defense. I mean, at that point, what's your gut telling you, D-Mac?
I was feeling pretty confident about things because when this team gets on a roll and gets up in games, the energy rolls with them. They got a good team.
Yep.
The problem is when they get behind.
Yep.
And so I was feeling really good about things.
Yeah.
And well, then Teddy gets hurt.
Exactly. So as good as I was feeling, and that's exactly what I was setting up, is I think everybody was feeling like, wow, we've got it all in front of us. Teddy goes out on the next series, and he gets himself hurt. You know, the severity of the injury, I still don't fully understand. It was some sort of shin injury. Mm-hmm. That I guess he's going to be okay, but I think it sounds similar to the, I think it's another bone bruise or something like that, but we'll see what ends up going in there.
Yeah,
Drew comes in.
To the degree, by the way, on the injury, that Vic Fangio wasn't even briefed on Teddy today, as he usually is by the medical people.
So that, yeah, that tells me something. You know, they did the x-rays during the game. It came back negative. Mm-hmm. I do think it's probably another deep bone bruise. It's super painful, but likely not a structural deal. Just what I'm guessing. Drew comes in and immediately takes the sack, fumbles the ball, fumbles it forward, and we're extremely fortunate the Broncos were able to recover it. Yeah. But I was just thinking, oh, are you kidding me, Drew? I mean, you know, I truly do mean this. When Drew came in the game, I felt like, man, I really want this for Drew. I just wanted it. You know, there's a lot of people out there that want to prove that they are right about Drew Locke. I didn't think that Drew was the answer, but I'm rooting for the kid because I know what it's like to be in that situation where everything's going wrong and you just need a moment, you know? And you go out there and you start it out with that fumble.
Yep.
I mean, are you not just thinking to yourself, wow, Drew, here you go. You go out there and you do that?
Kind of, but everything seemed to be going the Broncos' way that day. They got a couple of calls that went their way. That fumble got picked up by Tim Patrick. And it's still, I mean, and then they finished off that drive with a touchdown. And on the touchdown, it was like an RPO sort of deal where Drew Locke did need to read the defense, and he read it perfectly. Perfect call, perfect run. And I don't know, I felt like there's a lot of energy here. The crowd was hype. It felt great.
Yeah. Well, I put it out there on Twitter when Drew Locke went in the game. It wasn't just Drew. You know, you Calvin Anderson goes down. You've got Quinn Bailey in the game. It went unnoticed to me that Dalton Risner went down originally. I didn't even quite pick up on that until the next series.
Okay.
But you're down to only one original starter on the offensive line. And it was up to Pat Shurmur to call a good game plan where you're not going to put your offensive line at risk and you're not going to ask too much of Drew Locke. Well, he did. He did a good job, man. Pat Shurmur went heavy on the run offense. They capped off the scoring drive, 14-0, good guys.
I'm feeling great about their chances, and I'm actually feeling pretty good about Drew Locke at that point. And by the way, you should know, Teddy Bridgewater was standing by himself, and a lot of people didn't understand what was going on. But we thought what he was doing is that just he was looking at the offense from the best place to look at it from, hearing the calls in the headphones. And sure enough, even though he was by himself, he was just in the best spot to watch the offense. And as soon as the offense came off the field, he went right over to Drew and kind of consulted about what was going on.
Yeah.
So he wasn't being standoffish or upset.
He had his head in the game.
Absolutely.
Sure. So Chargers get the ball.
But real quick, that told me that I thought he was out of the game. Like, I thought he wasn't coming back in. Like, this is what his role for the rest of the game is going to be. Doing exactly this. Like, he wasn't standing there on the sideline, Tyler.
Trying to get loose.
It was nothing like that.
Yeah, no, I would agree. It did feel like Teddy was done for the game at that point. Chargers get the ball. They're down 14-0. And they get a nice little drive going. They take it down to our 35. They got a 4th-and-2, and they've got a decision to make. Hindsight 2020, I thought it was an interesting decision to make. You know, it's very early in the ball game. 4th-and-2, you've got a chip shot of a field goal, but they went for it. Mm-hmm. And it was like, great. I mean, hey, if you want to go for it, well, let's take advantage of it. It was good coverage from Darby on Keenan Allen, incomplete. Huge turnover downs. The Broncos get the ball back. They're up 14-0. And the real key to the game up to this point has been, number one, well, the Broncos have slowly but surely scored points, but the Broncos pass rush was really, really good. You know, Stephen Weatherly picked up a sack late in the second quarter to give us the ball back with 2 minutes. And you should be in great shape. All you got to do is eat up the clock. Maybe you kick a field goal. You need 2 first downs and some in order to kick the field goal. But you should be in great shape. Eat up the clock. You're up 14-0 going to halftime. But instead, you throw 2 straight passes. Lock those an interception that is absolutely mind-numbing. No excuse for it. So now Drew Locke has fumbled the ball. He's throwing an absolutely mind-numbing interception. You give the ball back to Justin Herbert with 1:16 left at the 50-yard line. And there goes the Drew Locke experience. Yep. At this point, I just think about everyone and their mother could agree, we're done with Drew Locke, including Vic Fangio, because at that point, you're right. Teddy was not engaged as in, I'm going to go back in this game, but at halftime, all of a sudden, he was.
Yeah, Fangio said, I wasn't sure what was going to happen with Teddy before the half, but after the half, I knew we were going to go with Teddy.
Yep.
And by the way, it did take, and I saw it, that wasn't on TV, they needed to have Teddy go and warm up a little bit. Because they really, I'm telling you, out of the tunnel, I don't think they really knew as well. But after throwing and warming up a little bit, I think Teddy probably said, yeah, I'm good. And as soon as he said that, there was no thinking about it. They were nervous about the game. I really don't know what would have happened if it was 17-0 or 21-0 at halftime. Who knows? Who cares? You know, Teddy is obviously the answer, and Drew is done.
Yeah. Well, Chargers did march right down the field after that turnover. They did get a touchdown. So you go into halftime. It's 14-7. You come out, and again, the Chargers are really, quite frankly, starting to move the ball well. Justin Herbert is wheeling and dealing. But now you get a big sack from McTelvin Ajim. And so you've got big moments coming from guys that you're not really counting for. And what continues to be the story of the game is you're getting great pass rush from your front four. You're not blitzing a lot. Fangio's been blitzing heavier than he has in other years. And you back them up a little bit for a field goal attempt. You probably got it there. I don't recall the exact length on it.
52 yards.
52.
And it was awful. It was just a flat, like flying saucer sort of kick. They've had problems on special teams all year. And if you want to say the Chargers are going to charger, that was a moment right there.
Yep. So they missed the field goal. No blood. But you can see at this point, you know, if they score going into halftime, you score again, you could see just how disastrous Locke's interception should have been to this team. I mean, it could have been the difference of winning and losing a game, because now it's 14-10 in theory is what it should have been. Broncos dominated the time of possession in the first half, but the Chargers started dominating the time of possession in the second, and unfortunately Herbert throws an interception to Surtain after really dominating and eating up the clock. Throws an interception to Surtain after marching all the way down the field, which was huge. Because at that point, again, you're thinking, I don't know what you're thinking, but I'm thinking it's looking like they're going to score. Are you thinking it's looking like they're going to score?
100%.
Right.
And it was a terrible, terrible throw by
it
Herbert.
Was.
Okay, it was on third down, but why are you forcing it there, man? You're down. Well, who cares? Chargers are going to charge her. And that's a great young player making a terrible decision.
Yep.
And by the way, good for Surtain for catching it. But that was a really poorly thrown ball. I mean, it never had a chance.
So it goes from 14-0 to 14-7. Should have been 14-10. Then it should have been 17-14, the Chargers, because
right.
I think they're going to finish off that drive, but they
right.
throw an interception.
Right.
And instead, the Broncos are still in the lead, 14-7. Thank
right.
God. And Teddy comes back to life, gets a nice little screen pass to Javonte Williams. By the way, again, just going out there and doing his deal, proving that he is the most effective weapon the Broncos have on offense. Javonte picks up 30, 40 yards, whatever it was on a quick swing pass there. And Teddy caps off a drive with a rollout touchdown to Eric Saubert, the first touchdown of his career. Hard to believe that was his first touchdown.
Yeah, and
great f-ing drive.
Yeah!
We ran the ball 33 times.
Yeah!
That's how I'm at. Running back.
First career touchdown.
Yeah!
Guys, just keep on
rolling. Spikes the ball.
I love it. I finally get a game ball, and I'm going to spike this thing. It was a good spike, though. It was.
It was not intended to go to him. Noah Fant was dragging in the back, and Sauber just...
Well, you know, it's funny. It did look that, and I saw that. If that ball was intended for Noah Fant, that was going to be a bad ball. That ball was going to be well short if it for sure was intended to Noah Fant. I don't know how you know that. It looked that way to me, but...
Sauber was asked about it after
the game. Was he? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So he confirmed I just snagged that thing?
Yeah.
All right, well, it's really fortunate because it probably was going to be a bad ball to Noah Fant. Grabbed it. All right, so Broncos are up 21-7. I feel like the game's under control, but you never really know with Justin Herbert. He's led a lot of fourth quarter comebacks. But here's where Herbert really just ends the game, tosses the pick six to Patrick Surtain, puts the Broncos up 28-7, ices the game off. Chargers did score again, on a Hail Mary type of pass to Jared Cook, but the game was over at that point.
Absolutely. And that was a miraculous play, to Cook. There's nothing you can, I mean, what are you going to do? Who cares anyways? And the Broncos did a nice job, by the way, of just working the clock down, getting the first downs that they needed. They just, hey, good for that offensive line, by the way. I mean, you know, Cush is the only starter in there. And
a lot of credit to those boys. Broncos won that game the exact way that I told you they needed to win the game. They weren't going to win that game in some sort of shootout. You had to win it via time of possession, and you had to find a way to slow down Justin Herbert. Well, they did both those things. Vic Fangio gets a lot of credit. He's probably patting himself on the back again. But you know what? Your defense looked great, and Vic Fangio outshined his protege in Staley.
Hey, on the deflected pass to Eckler that went to Sertan.
Yeah.
Bad effort by Eckler. Which, who do you put it on? Herbert or Eckler?
Oh, man. Help me out on it. I of course, I remember the play. I don't remember the ball play's been all too well. It was a little bit high and to the left, if I remember correct. Is that right?
That's what I feel, although Eckler did get both hands on it.
Okay.
I was curious what your opinion was on that.
It probably put a little bit too much heat on it, if anything. It was a decent ball placement. Felt like a bad luck situation for Justin Herbert. I didn't put that one on him like I did the first interception. But, shoot, if you put too much heat on it and your guy can't catch the ball, I guess that's on you, too.
Okay. I bet Austin would probably take the blame on that. Tough moment for Eckler. You know, you don't want to be part of, you come back to your hometown. It's not like he hasn't been here before, but.
Man, he was getting a lot of hype on the broadcast. They were talking about Eckler all day long.
He had four touchdowns the game before and has scored the most points on his team. And, I mean, he's been that guy for them. But, boy, the Broncos, what did he do yesterday? I mean, like, nothing, right?
Not much.
I know Adam's right there.
They didn't do much at all on offense.
Eckler had passing, receiving, rushing. Eckler, 12 carries, 31 yards.
Yeah.
That's it. 6 catches, 68 yards. So, I mean, for Eckler, that is absolutely nothing. We're joined by our ESPN NFL insider, Adam Schefter, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. And Adam, we are talking about the Denver Broncos playing meaningful games in December with their destiny in their own hands, Adam, if they can win 6 games in a row. And it sets up nicely for the Chiefs. What'd you think about the Broncos win yesterday?
Listen, impressive to go beat a Chargers team at home. They're playing meaningful football at this year. And listen, you got to like what's going on there, right? How can you not?
Yeah, it's great. Broncos control their own destiny. It's hard to believe it, but you got a primetime game. The NFL knew what they were doing when they flexed the Broncos in primetime, huh? Did they know what they were doing, Adam?
The league is always a step ahead of everybody, right?
Right.
So to put the Broncos and Chiefs on. Now, the Broncos in Kansas City in December, their record there is not exactly distinguished.
No.
But all you can ask is to have this kind of chance in a matchup like this. And if you're Denver, you got to be happy about that. And look, Kansas City's not playing its best football. The Broncos have a chance in that game. And so all good right now.
Hey, maybe you can bring up to speed on some football news around the NFL. And Christian, our guy, is done again for the year.
Yeah, and just amazing, right? It's just second straight year that Christian McCaffrey will finish the year on injured reserve. Injury examined today. They've made the determination that he will not be back. And so that's got to be very disappointing for him and that organization that his season again is over. And you hate to see such a great player.
Mm-hmm. Adam, I find the coaching carousel going on in college right now fascinating. Pac-12 is making some moves. They pull Lincoln Riley over from Oklahoma. And now Oklahoma is hot on the chase on Cliff Kingsbury. Now, I guess I'd be shocked if Cliff went there, but he didn't exactly shoot it all down, did he?
Well, I wouldn't say hot on the chase. He's on their list, right? There are people on their list. What's interesting about it is, first of all, I put it out there that he's on their list. He's one of the guys that they'll be targeting. The agent, put that out. The agent never put it out there. And does it help Cliff and his agent? Of course it does. Yes, it does. But it did not come from them. And so, look, an agent's job is to get his client the best deal. A coach is to put himself in position to win as many games to get the best deal. And so they're in a good spot right now. They have the best record in the NFL. He's got 1 year left on his deal after this season. Mm. And so very few coaches head into the last year of their contract on the last year, particularly coming up in which they're having if it goes as far as they want. So we'll see what happens. Like, Arizona is not close to signing him to an extension. It's not like that story is turning into a new extension for Cliff Kingsbury. The Cardinals know the situation.
Wouldn't be shocked, though, right?
What's that?
I said wouldn't be shocked, though, if that's where it heads eventually.
Oh, yeah, eventually, yeah. I mean, you want to keep your head coach, right? Eventually, yes. But I don't believe that report yesterday is going to result in a new extension for Cliff Kingsbury this week or this month. We'll see. Again, it's going to be the byproduct of a lot of talks. I think the bigger point is, independent of everybody, Cliff Kingsbury, if they keep winning, is going to have options. He just is. That's sure. The way it is.
Yeah, who is the highest paid coach in the NFL? Because I'm thinking about Lincoln Riley right now at USC.
Belichick, right?
I'm curious who it is, Adam.
I believe it to be Bill Belichick, yes. And no one knows the exact figure, but I think he is the highest one.
But what is it-ish, do you think? What neighborhood are we talking?
Somewhere between, I would say, $12 to $15 million.
All right. Wow. Okay. Well, that's right up there then with Lincoln Riley. I just can't believe how much these colleges are paying is all. You know, and maybe that is the dream, not the NFL, if you make that kind of money. It's wild. It's crazy to think.
Well, it's a situation where if Cliff Kingsbury keeps winning, he's going to have options.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, of course, why would Oklahoma not have him on a list, right? Like,
right.
It'd be crazy not to. And so we'll see what happens. And you heard his answer today, right? I mean, Mike Tomlin came out and was like, I am not going to college.
right.
Okay. Did you hear Cliff Kingsbury?
I didn't.
No.
No, what did he say?
Well, he'd be an idiot to say that with this kind of leverage.
Well, what did he say? I didn't catch it.
He just said, we're focused on winning.
Okay.
It's not the time to talk about that job right now.
Okay, fun. Adam, Michigan beats Ohio State. You are a Michigan grad. Your son goes to Michigan. You got all sorts of Michigan ties. We had Baron Browning, who went to Ohio State of the Broncos, say he just couldn't believe it. It was like a nightmare dream. I congratulate you and your Michigan brethren. How does it feel?
Well, a few things. First of all, on my podcast last week, I had Taylor Lewan on. And he and I went back and forth on how Michigan was going to win the game. You could say, oh, it's easy to say that in advance. But I truly believe that and been telling a bunch of my friends that all season long when they asked. Nobody believed it. And that's fine. And what I felt was I was around the team for a full day in October, early October, and I couldn't believe how much they were talking about Ohio State then and how vulnerable they felt Ohio State was. And I just felt like this was a better Michigan team. And the other thing is, it just felt like it was time.
he's had a few cracks at top five teams.
It just did. And, you know, my son, honestly, my son's been cheated of his college experience. You know, he's had some obstacles in his life. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like, you know what? I've been very blessed to experience some unbelievable sporting moments in my life. Michigan won the national championship in basketball my senior year of college in 1989. I was fortunate enough and honored enough to cover the Broncos when they won back-to-back Super Bowls, which was incredibly exciting, as everybody remembers. I've seen many teams that I grew up rooting for win championships. And I said to myself, you know, this is the first time my son is a senior at Michigan that he's going to a Michigan-Ohio State game.
Oh.
He hasn't been to one.
Oh.
And I feel like, in a way, it's just crazy, a little bit owed to him to have one of those great sporting memories that have been denied to him.
Yeah.
And that's, I told him that last week. We were out to lunch the week before the game, and Michigan State was losing to Ohio State like 50-0. And he goes, oh my God, how the hell? Michigan's going to get killed.
Right.
I go, Devin, you can, this sets up perfectly. This is exactly what you want, Ohio State blowing out Michigan State nobody can think that they're beatable. It's exactly
awesome.
What you wanted. And
that's
awesome. I felt it coming all week long.
All right. Well, did he run on the field?
He did not. He, you know what he told me? He sat in the stands with one of his college buddies, who I also went to college with. In other words, it was the two sons of Michigan men.
Okay.
And he said that the other kid was crying. And he said, are you going to run the field? And he goes, That's an amateur move. I don't need to run the field. I just want to stand here, soak it all in.
I respect it. Yeah, take it all in. Yeah, sure.
All right, Seattle, Washington tonight. That game is on TV. And Adam, good luck on Countdown. Have fun tonight. We'll
Thanks,
watch
guys.
It.
Have a great week. Nice talk to you. Happy holidays.
Okay, you too. Really quick on the college note.
Yeah, yeah.
Really quick. Darren Cheverini.
Yeah, you know.
It was all his fault.
Well, you know, I'm not shocked that Darren was fired. Obviously, what the Buffs were doing offensively was not good enough. You know, in today's age, where just about every offense in college football makes it look easy, and they score 30-plus points per game, and that's week in, week out. The Buffs were not getting it done. All that being said, I do want to give a just sincere tip of the cap to Darren, who is – an absolute true Buffalo. I mean, he is a Buff through the thick and the thin. He's got 10 years invested in the program as a player and as a coach. He was a great recruiter for the university during his time. I got a lot of respect for Darren Cheverini. I'm not shocked that they made the move, but, you know, just a sincere gratitude to Darren for the time that he put into the program.
All right, well said. Okay, we'll get to the water cooler. High praise for a man that's had a rough time of it. Leads off the water cooler next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Tyler, he's taken a lot. He's fallen on many swords. He's taking a lot of hits. It's your pal and my pal, Tom McMahon. But tell me, did the special teams of the Broncos make any mistakes yesterday?
Man, not only do I not think they made any noticeable mistakes, did they not make any mistakes? I'm not going to go that far, D-Mac. I'm sure there's something on film. Somebody blocked the wrong dude or something. I mean, are you kidding me? We think that they shot they pitched a perfect game. I doubt it. But they actually, I mean, in particular, the punt team was a huge part of what the Broncos were doing. Punt team was fantastic. Pinned the Chargers a couple different times. And, you know, Tom McMahon, hey, congratulations. Vic stuck with you for a reason. This was the reason. This was why he stuck with him.
When they lined up with Broncos on the first drive, their first drive, and they went for the punt instead of a 60-yard field goal attempt, were you okay with that?
Oh, yeah. No, I was definitely okay with that. At that point in time in the game, you know, there's certain situations where I'm all about going for it with the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other situations where it's just common sense that now's not the time or place to go for that.
Do you think Brandon would agree with you on that?
Oh, yeah. 100% I do.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Brandon's not. I mean, Brandon's a smart dude. He understands. Look, He wears his emotions on the sleeve, and if he wants to be out there, he's going to be front and center. He's going to be standing right next to Vic Fangio, and he's going to be pleading his case. No, I don't think Brandon would even want to kick the field goal there because, you know, the repercussions or the consequences, rather, of what if it were to go wrong is very, very significant.
Well, I mean, what a play, though. I mean, you get the ball in the air and your own dude fields the ball at the 1 yard line. I mean, that's literally as good as you could possibly do on that particular play.
Right.
And that set everything up, three and out by the Chargers. Broncos couldn't even get a first down. Then that special teams leads to good defense and 7 points for the Broncos. So I don't know if you want to say anything else complimentary about Tom McMahon. I mean, you know, there was just no drama with special teams.
That's about as far as I could go. We didn't have any standout plays. Our standout play was a punt.
Maybe that's good, right?
Congratulations that you had a standout punt.
You made your 4 extra points. You had the great punt. You didn't make any dumb mistakes. I mean, you didn't get anything blocked. I mean, you didn't have any penalties? I mean, hey, help me out. All the other things. It's always something.
This is not something we should be celebrating. This should be an expectation. We should not be talking about Tom McMahon. We should not be giving him a pat on the back or a gold star for having a decent game.
Next in the water cooler, your buddy Kirk Cousins lined up behind the guard. How often do quarterbacks line up behind the wrong player?
You know, more often than you think. I mean, it's not like it happens all the time, but that happened to Kirk. Kirk has done he's had a few foolish moments now over the course of his career. That happened to him twice out in Washington when I was playing with him. Lined up under the right guard and then got bumped over to the center. He also had the famous take a knee when I meant to spike the ball. So quarterbacks do this stuff. It looks funny, especially when the running back has to go up there and has to save the day. But if you watch the play, you can see how it happens. I mean, Kirk's out there. He's talking to the wide receivers over on the right side. He's walking down the line of scrimmage. He starts to walk back. He had the tight end on the right, and then he went to the guard. I mean, hey, it looked like a fool. But I'll tell you this, Kirk Cousins is playing at a top 10 level this year.
The other, I don't know, it's probably a negative twist, but boy, Cam Newton got benched, looked terrible. I mean, is the rise and fall of Cam Newton with the Panthers now fallen? I mean, is that kind of a wrap for Cam Newton, you think?
Well, I mean, you couldn't have expected Cam Newton to come out and play like lights out football midway through the year. He had one short week to get himself ready. And yeah, he got the running touchdown in the first week in which PJ Walker was playing QB.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're a Panthers fan, you could easily make the case that PJ Walker, it earned the opportunity to continue playing. He'd been playing good football for that team. I mean, Cam Newton, he's going to more than likely play the rest of the year because the contract tells you he's probably going to play the rest of the year. But, I never really expected him to come out and play lights out football.
I want to just get ahead of it. You had a spectacular week in Pick'em.
This is a buzzkill. I think I'm going to have to cover the bill here. I was out in Texas. I blew it.
I saw the asterisk. Did you?
I blew it. You know, I was out in Texas. I didn't have any service. I went unplugged for like 2 or 3 days. I didn't get my picks in for the Thanksgiving Day. So those three games, unfortunately, I'm going to be an honest man here.
You didn't get them in.
Those three games, those were auto picked. The rest of them I did pick. So, you know, we'll have to. I don't know how close it is.
One
but,
game.
Is it one game?
Okay. In total with the. So, I don't know where you. I mean, you
so
gotta,
so
anyway.
if we both went opposite, in theory, that we could be close, right? That could be three. Are we up by one or down by
we're
one?
We're up by one.
Right.
We're
so
up by
so
one.
If we both go opposite of mm-hmm. what they're doing, what do they got? Do you know?
Oh, yeah. They both have Seattle. I have Washington right now. You have Seattle.
All right. So if I flip to Washington, then if they win, then we win because my three game, or no, we would tie. We would push.
I know.
Yeah.
So we have a choice to make.
But I will,
if we
will do the right thing here because this is my bad. I'll cover the bill for you. This is my bad. Nope. This is on me. You know, first time I've let the team down all year long, but, you know, I'm going to do the right thing and I'm going to fall on the sword.
Okay. All right, Tom.
Yeah.
That means we can't win though.
Well, the best we could do is push. And if you push, you carry it over.
Yeah, but they would just make a claim that they really won because you didn't get the games on Thanksgiving.
No. But if we both move over, then we win by three.
What do you want to do?
No, I'll move over to Washington.
All right.
That way, so if we win by three, then you wipe out the three games on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah,
those were the only three that I didn't pick. And then it's push.
And if it doesn't go that way, you'll cover.
That's right.
Oh, okay. I like that. All right. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I was looking at your picks. I'm like, oh, my God. Tyler is... And then I'm like,
I did pick the rest of them, but I missed the Thanksgiving Day games.
I like that. Well, yeah. Good. I like your concept. That makes sense.
Right.
All right.
So if Washington wins tonight, and well, hopefully they're not listening. You know, Zach's got a baby. No, I'm like probably not listening. Then we're good. We push. No blood.
When we got to look at Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon and what's going on there. And some more praise for George Payton as the Broncos get one of their most remarkable wins, setting up such a huge game on Sunday night. That's next on The Drive.
It's a Reaction Monday powered by Superbook Sports. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Why
Why is Zach listening right now? Doesn't he have other stuff to do?
Wait.
Why is Zach listening? You know, we're sitting there talking. I always tell you, we shouldn't talk about this stuff on air. We shouldn't hash out the plan
air. What'd he say?
Well, he was listening. He said that my honesty is commendable.
Oh,
so, I appreciate it. Unfortunately, he knows our plan now, though.
No, here's... Well, but, I mean, Oh, I see, yeah.
Right.
If he doesn't want the push, if he just wants
to take care of you. That's right. Yes, unfortunately. Yeah, which is a bummer. Zach, but, I mean, the bigger question is, like, don't you have diapers to be changing or something?
Yeah, here's... You want me to kill you with truth? Listen, should you be present for the birth of your kid? Yeah, hell yeah, of course.
Oh, here we go. What are you going to do with this one?
Should you be around... in the first couple weeks for your kid? Absolutely. The guys should take time off. They should be there. Is there a shocking amount of nothing to do time during that time? As it turns out, the answer of that is also true.
Well, this is all true. You know,
two things to be true at the same time.
Two things can't be true. I had a baby in the middle of the year one time. I did. Now we always tried to plan these sort of things, but every now and then you got a hello.
You got the urge.
We had. That's right.
You never know in January when you get the urge.
I get that urge a lot. It's just like, you know, like. She doesn't seem to get the urges often, but we had an October baby. I slept in the hospital and everything. You know, I thought I was doing the right dad thing.
Yeah, of course you did.
I had the worst game of my life after that. Yeah, no big deal, but it was worth it for my daughter.
Wait, isn't Zach doing an appearance tonight out at a bar?
Is he really?
Yes, thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Monday Night Football with Zach.
Wow. You know, priorities. Can't do the show, but...
Right. I mean, are you allowed to go play sports with your team if you don't go to school that day?
So does that count as a day off? Like, I don't know.
I'm not one to speak on other people's business.
Yeah.
But I just noticed that. All right, we'll see what they do. We'll get a little, you know, little gamesmanship leading right up to Monday Night Football tonight. What a beauty tonight. Seattle at Washington.
Hey,
man,
my kids are all over this one. They were trying to get me to buy a plane ticket to go to this game. And they're like, Dad, who are you rooting for? Because my middle daughter's all about Washington. My son's all about Seattle.
All right.
I'm like, hey, guys, we win no matter what. It's all good. Don't worry about it.
See, that's the great thing about being a kid. You have no idea who's good or who's bad or why it matters or why it doesn't matter.
That's right.
And this game tonight.
Hey, Washington. Washington, not bad this year. Not bad for Washington.
Oh, my God.
They're not bad for Washington.
Both of my children, see, this is what Zach's going to get. Zach's going to get grief from people out there for taking any time off. Not from us. We're not giving Zach grief for that. But get ready for it, Zach. It's coming your way. Both of my children.
How much time's he taking?
Well, the fact that he just took today off would probably be, you know, something for some people. Not me.
I mean, we're not talking about you. Just from the text line.
The text line.
That's right. I mean, you wouldn't say that. You're right. Yeah.
I don't even have to read it.
Yeah. I mean, you can. Because it's not from you.
It's not from me.
Yeah.
Both of my children were born on a Wednesday. I took Thursday and Friday off and went back to work Monday, working half days for a week until going back full time. That's not even that strong right there.
We've got a tough job, we do for a living. Not everybody could do what we do, D-back. You know, we need to take time off every now and then because this is an exhausting job.
How about this one? My oldest child was born on January 1st. We were at the hospital, but me and my father-in-law were in the waiting room watching the Orange Bowl when my wife gave birth.
No way.
Good.
I mean, nobody came in to tell you, or you just chose to continue watching the game?
Oh, my God. Reaction Monday, Broncos discussion at halftime. Locke, you ain't Mahomes. You're a bench warmer.
My wife called me one time. I was out in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like, it was a week or two early from when she was supposed to be having the baby. And she calls me at like, in middle of meetings, at probably like, I don't know, 7:30 at night. And she calls me three or four times and I'm like silencing the phone. I look down at it and she's like, I think I'm in labor. I text back. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? I'm in Pittsburgh. Do you want me to miss the game? I mean, now you put it on her, right? So, like, do you want me to miss the game? Because I totally will. I will. If you want me, I'll miss the game.
Were you being honest about that?
Oh no, of course I was. I did go up to Shanahan, and I was a little bit nervous about it because I didn't really know what I wanted to do. But I mean,
yeah.
You know. guess I'll miss the game for the birth of my daughter. I guess I'll do that. But I went up to Mike and I was like, hey, so I kind of got a situation. My wife, she might be in labor. It's a little bit early. I'm not sure. He was great. He was like, hey, don't worry about it. I'll get you a private flight. Don't worry about it. If you got to go, you got
to
go.
He didn't say, I told you to take January off.
No. Well, he told me like you should have planned better.
Right.
And I said, well, I got an urge.
Well, players have urges.
What did Fangio
heard that
say?
From Fangio. Play,
yeah.
Urges. They're young men, and they have urges.
I was a young man, and I had urges. I'm sorry, coach.
That is a crazy thing to think about as a NFL or a football player. Like, I mean, what months really should you stay away from? I mean, if you don't want to have a baby during the season. So you don't want to have a baby in September, October, November, December.
That's
or
right.
January, theoretically, right?
Well, late January, generally speaking, you're usually in good terms, right?
So really, you know, once like July hits, go for it.
You've got a solid half the year where it's okay to have a baby. Right.
Right.
So it's like, you know, it's okay to have urges during the season.
During the season.
But I mean,
fine.
During the off season when you go on vacation and stuff, you need to control yourself. You see your wife in that bikini, you go on vacation, control yourself.
I was born late. My grandfather got tired of spending all the time at the hospital and was at a bar around the corner watching March Madness when I was born. Well, you know, that happens. Oh, I was asked, not to worry about the picks, Tyler. Tell me you got a deer.
Oh, so unfortunately, we did not get one. My son and I did not get one. Somebody in our group did. We had an 8-year-old get his first deer, which was awesome. We sat in the stand for, you know, we only got out there for one session, unfortunately, because we, in the morning, we went out shooting. We were just having fun. So we didn't get out early in the morning. We only got out in the afternoon. And we sat at the stand and, we were waiting and waiting. It was getting probably about 15-30 minutes left, with legal time. And, I see an animal walk up to the stand, and you know, we're in Texas. This is feeder style hunting. You know, you kind of expect an animal to come.
So here it comes.
Right. So here it comes. I see it kind of creeping in there.
How exciting.
It walks straight up to the stand.
Oh, let's go.
It's eating some food. So I smacked my son on the shoulder and I go, hey, here we go. Here we go. So, you know, he's starting to get ready. I pull out the binoculars. And right as I start to get the binoculars up to my eyes, my son goes, Dad, that's Astro. That was my brother-in-law's dog. The dog was the only animal that we saw, and they're very, very fortunate that I didn't allow my son to take it. Yeah. So, you know, good responsible hunter. I didn't take the dog. I did the responsible thing. I didn't let my son take the dog.
That is like a scene out of like some Curb Your Enthusiasm moment right there. That would be, my God. Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh. Going back to dinner after that.
Oh my God. I'm laughing because it's darkly funny and thank God it didn't happen.
Right.
But that's right out of the.
Well, the crazy thing is, so we had the closest stand to camp, basically, right? And everybody else, maybe that was not a coincidence. They gave the guests the worst stand, but, you know, we had the one that was closest to all the activity. The ladies and the dogs were back at home base. And, you know, I could hear all the dogs barking. So I texted my wife. I'm like, hey, shut those dang dogs up. We're trying to hunt out here. And so she did get the dog shut up, but apparently she lost the dog.
Oh my God.
The dog found its way to the feeder.
Okay. Football at 4. Let's go through Teddy Bridgewater's day and what this means for Drew Lock, what Coach Fangio had to say about it today, and get your reaction too. It's a victory Monday. Thank you to Del Frisco's for feeding the entire crew here today. The food is absolutely delicious. I-25 in Orchard, and they're in Cherry Creek as well. We love I-25 in Orchard because they're just right over there. We can see them. It feels like the middle of summer, but it's not. We're going to have meaningful, very meaningful Broncos games in December for the first time, it feels like, in a long time. Let's get to football at 4 next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.